This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Not in the name of the Most High.
Live. Alhamdulillah, and I told you that. Alhamdulillah, we're starting. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina. محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي أما بعد All praise due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى And peace be upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم I testify that there is no God except Allah And I testify that Muhammad is the prophet, the messenger of Allah My brothers and my sisters in Islam What a great opportunity that Allah سبحانه وتعالى gives us all to be part of this blessed gathering In the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most blessed place on the face of this earth, to be the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the most blessed invitation coming from Allah azza wa jal. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who honor and value what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue bestowing upon us His honor and blessings. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Last week, we spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowered the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam with the Islam of two great men from the people of Quraysh. That was the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hamza, the son of Abdul Muttalib and Umar ibn al-Khattab in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. And who's Umar ibn al-Khattab? Umar al-Khattab was one of the worst of the people of Quraysh against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Jahl was the top on the top of that list, and he was the worst of all the worst. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though in Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, will encounter the harshest and the worst of reaction and retaliation from Amr ibn Hisham, Abu Jahl, and Umar ibn Khattab. But then at the end of the day, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will continue making dua for him. Which shows us what? It shows us how wide and open the heart and the mind of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to save people from the hellfire. So his responsibility is to save as many people possible from the hellfire. To bring as many people possible into Islam. Even if they are the worst of people on the face of this earth. Abu Jahl is the worst. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him to be the Fir'aun of this nation. But that did not stop the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from raising his hands to Allah and saying, Ya Allah, bring him to Islam. Bring him to Islam. So should you be making dua for the worst of Muslim, for the worst of non-Muslims or the worst of enemies of Islam? Yes, you make dua for him. Ya Allah, bring him to Islam. That's what the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. We're not here to see people go into the hellfire. We're here to save people from the hellfire. So you should be making dua for the worst of people, the most anti-Muslims on the face of this earth. Ya Allah, I ask you that you bring him to Islam. Open the hearts to Islam. That's our responsibility. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as rahmah. Rahmah to whom? To the Arabs? To the Muslims? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rahmatan lil alameen, to the entire mankind. He's rahmah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an encompassing rahmah that includes every single living soul. Every single human being. And subhanallah, that's amazing to see this from the character of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to be the first direct contact by those two men who used to severely attack the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam says, Oh Allah, strengthen Islam through one of the two men to embrace Islam. Amr ibn Hisham, and that's Abu Jahl, or Umar ibn Khattab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chosen Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to be the one that Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted him to become a Muslim. At the end of the day, Allah accepted him to become Muslim. You're a Muslim because Allah accepted you to be a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted me to be a Muslim. We're in the masjid right now because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted us to be in the masjid. You pray to Allah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted you to pray. So all those things then just come because you just wanted them to do. Yes, you wanted to do them, but Allah chose you to do them too. After Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib and Umar ibn Khattab both became Muslims. And Hamza said, I was the 51st Muslim, which makes Umar ibn Khattab, who embraced Islam 3 days after him, the 52nd Muslim. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only has just 50 odd people are following him. He doesn't have a big, massive number. But after those two great warriors embraced Islam, the Sahaba said, we never felt honor, empowerment. We never felt the bravery and the courage to go out in the open and say, we are Muslims, until Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib and Umar ibn Khattab became Muslims. And we spoke about this story, how both of them walked out. They walked out leading two lines and rows, with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum was standing in those rows, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was right in the middle of those two rows, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and invoking Allah azza wa jal, and saying what they never did to say out in the open. Now obviously, the people of Quraysh are watching. The people of Quraysh are seeing all this. They're not going to accept it with an open heart and a big smile on their face. It wasn't easy for them to swallow. That was agitating them. Extremely agitating them. So they became more aggravated. Even though they did not dare to do anything to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, in particular, they've got Hamza and Umar al-Khattab on board now. They did not dare to do anything, but they became very agitated, very angry, which made them to start thinking of different ways in attacking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and different ways in hitting back at the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. One of them is to negotiate with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. They thought of negotiation with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. So one day, one of the elites of the people of Quraysh, by the name of Utbah is one of the chiefs and respected leaders of the people of Quraysh, from the non-Muslims, of course. And he was one of the people who was outspoken against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Utbah sat down with the people of Quraysh in their meetings. And obviously, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Islam Muslims, is the number one topic. It's the hot topic amongst the people of Quraysh. It's the front news, or the front page news that everyone's talking about during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. So Utbah, one of the leaders of the people of Quraysh, proposed a new proposition. He said, let me go and speak to this man Muhammad. Maybe he wants something. Maybe he's after something. Let me make some proposals to him. And maybe after I make those proposals, he'll agree to them. Let me entice him. You know what? Let me buy him out. You know, sometimes people speak, buy him out. Little does he know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's already been bought by Allah. He's already been bought by Allah azza wa jal. And that's a believer. You saw yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, I saw myself to Allah azza wa jal. You can't go and buy Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Buy him with what? What, you have better offer than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had offered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But it shows you the materialistic mindset. It's all about buying people out. It's not about the principles, it's not about the values. And it shows you that this war between the people of Quraysh and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not based on foundation or principles. It's based on ego. It's based on personal vested interests. So they start to negotiate with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They wanted to negotiate with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make some propositions to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, hoping that could entice the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Utbah sits down with the people of Quraysh and he says to them that, as you could see, this matter of Muhammad and his followers, Muhammad is just growing, his following is just growing, and he's getting stronger and more followers. How about I just go and sit down with him and talk to him and try and make some sense to him, or I make some proposals to him, make some offers to him, maybe he'll be enticed to accept the offers in return for him to turn away and divert away from where he's calling to. So they said, give it a go. Give it a go. Go and have a shot at it. If you can entice him, if you can persuade him, manipulate him, buy him out, just go and do whatever you can do, just keep him quiet. He's causing us too much problems. So Utbah goes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and sits down with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam in a respectful way. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a very dignified person. Like, he's not, you know that type of person, when you sit down with him, you have to respect him whether you like him or not. You just have to respect him. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a very dignified, respectful person before and after the prophecy. So Utbah sits down with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and obviously Utbah, he's been given a mandate, he's been given authority to go and speak on behalf of the people of Quraysh, not only on his behalf. He goes and sits down with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he says to him, "O Muhammad, listen to me in a respectful way." He said, "O Muhammad, I want to talk to you, so please listen to me." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "Tell me, what do you have, Utbah?" So he said, "O Muhammad, this strange call and religion that you came to us that we've never heard in the past, something that came to us, we've never experienced it, and you've caused us division. You've divided amongst us with this new call, with this new religion. I hope it's not something that you are trying to seek or something that you want, but I'm making an offer. This call that you came with, if you came with it seeking to become wealthy, I guarantee you, on behalf of the people of Quraysh, we will make you the richest and the most wealthiest person amongst us. And if you want to be a king, don't worry about this call. We'll make you a king. We will all give you the pledge of allegiance that you become a king. And if you want to get married, if you're after women, we'll make sure that we'll marry off the most beautiful, glamorous women in Mecca. And if you want out on Mecca, we're going to get them for you. And if it's sickness, if you think that you're hallucinating, you hear someone talking to you, look at the way they're talking to the Prophet, because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, "I'll get revelation from Allah." What's the revelation? Allah sends a messenger to speak to me. Now he's saying to him, if you think this is an illness, you are hallucinating, you've got mental illness, we'll make sure that we'll go and seek the best cure, the best medicine, the best doctor to sit down with you. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is listening. And he's making offers. Look, doesn't matter how religious you are, there are enticing offers. Money will give you. Wealth will give you. Status will give you. Respect will give you. You want to be a king, we'll make you the king. You want women, we'll give you the most beautiful women. You are sick, we'll make sure that we go and seek medication for you. What more can you ask for? So what do you? Then you'll miss out. So I suggest you follow him. So everyone turned around and said, "We sent you to him to buy him out. It looks like he bought you out. We sent you to him to convince him. It looks like that he convinced you." So they replied back to him and said, "Saharak, he spelled you. He cast a magic on you. It looks like he manipulated you when your job's supposed to be manipulating him." So he said, "I said what I had to say. I'm going to leave it to you." And he walked away. Did he become a Muslim? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a verse about him. إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. He thought about it. He contemplated it. He understood it. And then he walked away from it. Allahu Akbar. The man comes back. He went into negotiate with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and try to strike a deal with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. He heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was convinced what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had. He returned back 100% convinced, but he didn't follow what he was convinced of. It just doesn't make sense. فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he's cursed after he thought about it and he did not even act upon it. You heard it. You thought about it. You contemplated it. You pondered it. And then you return back and you speak to your people and say, this man is spot on. He's 100%. What he's saying is genuine. It's authentic. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But I'm not going to follow him. Doesn't make sense. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He's cursed because of his thought. He's damned because of his thought. Act upon what you believe in. Pursue what you believe in. You're the one that heard it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but you didn't do anything about it. So that was one attempt in trying to persuade the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and manipulate the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. But you know what? Out of all this, you know what amazes me? The position of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the proposals was, "Oh Muhammad, if you want to be a king, we'll make you a king." You know, someone like myself, I think I'm very smart.
say, you know what? It's a good opportunity. I'll become the king. And then I'll force Islam on them. True. I'll become the wealthiest person amongst them. And then I'll become their king. And when I'll become their king, they can't disobey me. So I'll force Islam on them. The end does not justify the mean. It doesn't work that way in Islam. You can't go and rob a bank and build a mosque. It doesn't work that way. The end doesn't justify the mean. In Islam, if the ending is good, if the destination is right, if the goal is correct, the way you get to it is going to be what? Correct. It's going to be halal. You can't say, wallahi, you know what? I'm doing something good. No, no, no. The end does not justify the mean. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't justify for himself, you know what, I could become their king and force Islam on them after it. It doesn't work that way. You can't deceive. You can't lie. You can't, wallahi, manipulate the system for your own cause and your own interest and then say, wallahi, it's halal. It doesn't work that way. If your destination is halal, the road to it is going to be halal. And that amazes me from the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not that, wallahi, he can't be bought. Not because, wallahi, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't be bought. Not because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't be manipulated. But it teaches us the character and the well-founded establishment and foundation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if my path, my end destination is to please Allah, then the way I get to is going to be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of Muslims fall in this hole, where they say, you know, I'm trying to do good. Okay, I understand you're trying to do good, but the way you're doing it is not right. The way you're doing it is not right. The end does not justify the mean. This is a Sharia law. And I know it's a common saying that you hear it, but even Islamically, you can't, but just because you are aiming to achieve something good, the way you get to it is going to be right. And I gave you a typical example. You can't go and rob a bank or rob someone and take interest and say, alhamdulillah, I'm going to feed the poor or build a masjid. No, 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 no. Even if your end goal is good, the way you get to it is going to be right. Haram is haram, regardless. Wrong is wrong, regardless. Doesn't matter where you're trying to head to, what you're trying to achieve. So that's one important lesson that we learn from this event. Obviously, it was a failing attempt that tried to manipulate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, persuade the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, buy him out sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but obviously they failed. So they tried another time. And this one is a funny one. They came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a new proposition. With a new proposal. But this time they came in a group of three people. Al-Aswad ibn al-Muttalib, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, and Umayyah ibn Khalaf. And some narration says there was a fourth man amongst them, Al-As ibn Wa'il. So three or four people, on behalf of the people of Quraysh, they came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I want you to contemplate and look at their offer. It shows you that there's no principles as opposed to a man of principles. And that's what Islam is about. Islam is about a strong, solid, and concrete principles. Oh Muhammad, we've got a new proposal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening. How about we worship your Lord 1 year and you worship our Lord 1 year? Shifts. So we worship your Lord 1 year and then your Lord can take a break. And then we'll tell our Lords to come on the shift and you worship our Lord 1 year. And obviously we're talking about their minds here. A'udhu billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond that. You know, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not slumber or get fatigue. But this is their mindset. How about we worship your Lord 1 year? And then you worship our Lord 1 year. And throughout those years, we either convince you or he convince us. Look at this proposition now. But subhanAllah, it shows you there's no principles. Not like they are fighting because of what they believe in their Lords. Even, you know, I respect someone that stands by the principles, even if the principles is wrong. But I respect them because it stands by principles. You know, some people will be fighting for a principle, even if you believe their principle is wrong, but they stick by that principle. They don't compromise. Look at these people that are fighting for their lords, but look at the compromise that are willing to compromise, saying, okay, oh Muhammad, you worship our Lord one year, worship your Lord one year, and then we worship your Lord one year, you worship our Lord one year, and we continue rotating between the two. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. O Muhammad, say, يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, to those who are disbelievers, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, I do not worship what you worship. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ, and you don't worship what I worship. وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ, and I don't worship what you worship. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ, and you do not worship what I worship. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ, you have your religion, and I have mine. I have my deen. My deen is Islam, and that's worshipping Allah. SubhanAllah. That's why this surah was revealed, because of this event where they proposed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worships his Lord. Throughout the year, you try and convince each other. It doesn't work that way. I'm happy to compromise on other issues. I'm happy to compromise and sit down with you and talk about things. But I'm not happy to compromise on the core values of my deen. We don't compromise on that. When something is haram, it's haram. If something is haram, it's haram. I had a brother, he came up to me and was talking to me about alcohol, for example. And he's saying, I believe that the current alcohol that we have in the clubs and pubs and in the liquor shops is not haram. I told him, brother, look, I'm happy to sit down and talk to you to convince you not to drink alcohol, but you have to believe that alcohol is haram. But I'm not going to entertain the topic for you to tell me that alcohol is halal, even though you don't drink it. Because drinking alcohol, believing it's haram, you're a disobedient person. Not drinking alcohol, but believing it's halal, you're a kafir, disbeliever. Or likewise, when someone says hijab is not from Islam, a sister that's not wearing the hijab, wallah, you've got my full support to help you, assist you, stand by you in any way, in any form, in any shape, if you're not wearing the hijab. As long as you acknowledge that, wearing the hijab is fard. Not wearing it, I help you, assist you. I respect that you want to wear it and you are trying. But to turn around and say hijab is not from the deen, no, I have an issue here. No, there's an issue here. To tell me the hijab is not fard, to tell me hijab is not part of the deen, there's an issue here. I can't compromise. I can't entertain the argument. I can't entertain the argument. I'm happy to sit down for you to tell me, look, Sheikh, I believe that hijab is fard, but I'm struggling with it. Wallah, you've got my full support. Even if the struggle is, I want it, but I can't do it. I respect that. At least you know you believe that hijab is fard. And you want to do it, alhamdulillah. You're on the right track, but you need to move forward. But to turn around and say, hijab is not from the deen at all, I'm not even willing to entertain the argument. It's not even part of the agenda. I don't even want to talk about it because there's no room for me to entertain that. I'm happy to debate the topic of niqab, fard or sunnah. Yes, there's room for that. Hijab, no, there's no room for that. You can't compromise. I don't care what the situation is. You can't compromise on the core values. Islam teaches us that. And look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He entertained the idea to sit down and talk. He even entertained another idea. What did Allah say? Lakum dinukum. Allah even called him religion. But I've got my own deen, and that's the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam. So this is another proposition and offer that the people of Quraysh had for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to manipulate the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And it shows you how low, these people are. They're willing to give up their own Lord that they are worshipping and fighting for. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Like, you are opposing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you're against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, because you believe that Muhammad is coming with a new religion that's opposing your religion. At least stand up for your religion, even though we believe your religion is wrong, but at least stand up for it. But there's no principles. Which it boils down and it gets to the point that there's no principles here. Their argument against the Prophet is not based on principles. It's not based on foundation. It's based on ego. Just being ego, that's it. Why is it Muhammad? Why isn't it me? I just don't like to follow Muhammad. And a lot of people have this issue. It's just ego. Not because of principles. And look at the people of Quraysh, what they're willing to do to compromise their what they believe in as their religion, as opposed to what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was willing to do for the for upholding Islam and not compromising one single bit, subhanAllah. Not even one single bit. And this is something that we're inspired by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So after these two offers and propositions that they try to pressure the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or manipulate the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, or even entice the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then they failed, then they start to look into different options. Different options. Along the way, they continue to persecute the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba. They didn't stop. They didn't hold back. They pursued and continued to torture and persecute the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba. After these attempts failed, Abu Jahl became more aggravated, more angry. So he said, by Allah, the next day when I see Muhammad, I'm going to grab the biggest rock that comes across me and I'm going to throw it on Muhammad. I'm going to crack his head. I don't really care what happens in return and what's the repercussions after that from his own family. Remember we said that they were always reluctant doing something to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the fear of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yes, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though the majority of them were non-Muslims, but they still supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not because he's Muhammad Rasulullah, because he's Muhammad, the son of Abdullah Abdul Muttalib. It's because he's from their tribe. So Abu Jahl said, the next day when I see Muhammad, the first big rock I'm going to see, I'm going to grab it and crack it on his head. And he did so. Next day, he saw a big massive rock. He carried it and he saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam near the Kaaba praying. And he grabbed this big massive rock coming towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the rest of the people of Quraysh are watching. Because, you know, it's a move that the people of Quraysh are waiting to see what's going to happen. Not that Abu Jahl doesn't have the courage to hit the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's the retaliation that's going to happen after. It's the repercussions that are going to take place within the people of Quraysh, in particular, one of the most prominent big families that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam belongs to. So the people of Quraysh are watching Abu Jahl carrying this big massive rock, walking towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to crush it on the head of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suddenly Abu Jahl stops. You know when you stop? Like, you know, you just stopped in the middle of the road. Why? He dropped the rock. Turned around, petrified, terrified. And he returned back to his people, and people just watching, stunned. What's going on? You just stopped suddenly, without a movement. You're walking towards Muhammad. Muhammad was on his own. What happened there? He said, by Allah, the moment I came near Muhammad, there was a big, massive camel, male camel, with big, massive fangs, about to attack me. I got so scared that I returned back. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by Allah, that was Jibreel. If this man, Abu Jahl, took one more step, Jibreel was ready to destroy him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now you could see and hear that the people of Quraysh will continue to attempt to persuade the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, manipulate the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam, and exercise more pressure on the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. To the extent they went to Abu Talib, who's the main protector of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam from the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the number one protector. But Abu Talib, as the people in Quraysh, he was the main protector of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He was in the protection, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam was in the protection of Abu Talib. So they went to Abu Talib, trying one more time, pressuring Abu Talib to give in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Talib, look what your nephew had done. Look what your nephew had caused. Your nephew had caused mischief. Your nephew had caused division. Your nephew had done this. Your nephew had done that. Enough is enough. We can't do this anymore. Abu Talib, we're giving you last chance. We are giving you the last shot here. If you're not going to comply with us, if you're not going to give in your nephew, we're going to go hard on you. And we're going to go hard against you and your tribe, because Abu Talib was the head of his tribe. They were paving the way for a boycott to boycott the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the entire family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that we'll talk about inshallah next week. However, one of the other attempts that the people of Quraysh continue to work on is to cast more doubts against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is talking about something, and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is inviting people to a religion that the people of Quraysh never heard before. So one of the ways to counter an ideology is with an ideology, cast doubts. So what did they do? They went to the Jews in Medina, Yathrib at that time, and sought their advice, because they found that there's some similarities between what Muhammad is saying and what the Jews are saying. So a delegation from the people of Quraysh went all the way to Yathrib, which is about 400 kilometers Medina, but it was called Yathrib at that time, and met with the Jews. And they told the Jews about what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying. And they sought their advice. They wanted to verify. So the Jews told the Arab Quraysh delegation to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam three questions. To ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam three questions. First question, ask Muhammad about a group of youngsters. They went to the cave. What happened to them? Second question, ask Muhammad about a man that ruled the east and the west. Tell us his story. And third question, ask Muhammad about ar-ruh. Ask Muhammad about the soul. So they came back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, "Oh Muhammad, if you claim to be a prophet and messenger, we have three questions. Answer them. Tell us about those youngsters that went to the cave. What's their story? Tell us about that man that ruled the east and the west. And tell us about the soul." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Come back to me tomorrow." And he did not say, "Insha'Allah." And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam waited the next day. No answer, no revelation. Because obviously the Prophet alaihi wasallam can't say anything from his own. Everything the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says and narrates is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waited the next day, no answer, no revelation. Following day, no revelation. Third day, no revelation. Now it's becoming a bit embarrassing on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told him, come back to me the next day. Some narrations say it went up to 14 days, no revelation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ." Don't you ever say, "Come back to me tomorrow, I'll do this and that," unless you say, "Insha'Allah, by the will of Allah." Look how Allah is teaching Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, these days you'll be talking to a brother. Brother says something, you say to him, "Say inshallah." "Who are you to tell me that? What, you want to teach me? Who do you think you are?" Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You say inshallah. Teaching the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a lesson. And this is a lesson to us. Never say anything or plan to do anything unless inshallah, by the will of Allah. It's not like every time, inshallah, I'm going to go here. Inshallah, I'm going to go to work. Inshallah, I'm going to go home. Inshallah, I'm going to go to the toilet. Inshallah, not every time. But always remember, everything's by who? By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After 14 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the answers. About the youngsters who went to the cave, Surah Al-Kahf. The entire story of the people of the Kahf. About the one that ruled the east and the west, Dhul-Qarnayn. Dhul-Qarnayn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his story in Surah Al-Kahf. And we've spoken about those stories in the past. And what about the soul? وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. Oh Muhammad, they ask you about the soul. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say to them that the knowledge of the soul is the knowledge of Allah. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You only have little knowledge. And that was the answer that the Jews already had given the Arabs. No one knows the knowledge of the soul except Allah. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered them accurately in accordance to exactly what the Jews had told the Arabs. So did the Arabs become Muslims? They became more aggravated. You know, when you debate with someone, and because you've got an in, and you've got an in for this person, like, you know, you hate this person. Even if they are right, and you know they're right, It doesn't make you say, okay, you're right. No, it entices you. It spikes you, incites you to do something even more wrong. That's how spiteful they were towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After they went to the Jews, and they told the Jews told them to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the three questions, and they gave him the answers. They gave him the answers, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered them, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't get 100 out of 100. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam got 1,000 out of 100, more accurate than what the Jews had given the Arabs or what they given the people of Quraysh. That didn't entice them or motivate them to become believers. On the contrary, that sparked them. It sparked them to be more aggressive towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which at the end, it wasn't about what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, right or wrong. They knew it was right. They knew it was the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that were the words of Allah azza wa jal. But ego, hatred, envy, subhanallah. You know, envy makes you blind. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes it to be the worst of sins. So inshallah, next week we'll talk about what the people of Quraysh had exercised, and how they exercised more pressure on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us to be from amongst those who listen and hear, act upon what they listen and hear. Subhanakallah hamdaka nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. See you next week and tune in inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page. And if you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.